for Sunday school kids. We sang in the community choir also. You know, just being true what God wanted us to do according to that. And come to find out, I find out anyhow, good works ain't going to get me to heaven. It ain't going to happen. It just won't happen. Sandy had been born again a long time, and it used to bother me to watch her sit there and study her Bible, be on a typewriter getting messages ready for women's Bible studies. And I used to call her Mrs. Billy Graham. It irritated me so bad. But I guess probably I was being convicted by her love of Jesus. And I did not know the hours of prayer she put in for me. As we lay in bed sleeping, she'd put her hand on my chest, I find out, and pray for me to come to know Jesus as a personal Savior. That was back in 1983, a turning point in my life that really, really happened to me and my family. I was at a school board meeting, and I came home and received word that my brother was murdered in Howard, South Dakota, a little town. It was a busy little town, you know. Way back then, it was, five or six bars, and on Saturday night, the streets were packed. You couldn't find a parking spot anywhere. And my brother's daughter lived in an apartment in one of the buildings downtown, and she had had a toy party, and she didn't have her phone, and they called and said her toys were here. So my brother went downtown and could tell her, you know, the message that he had received. So he couldn't find a spot, so he pulled in the alley and went up the back stairs to go to the apartment, and he walked in on a drug deal. At this point, they beat him to death. They kicked him down the stairs and just kept beating, broke his ribs, kicked him in the throat, crushed his larynx, which caused him to suffocate to death. And this was a very hard time because my brother was my best friend. We hunted together. We did everything. Whatever the season was, that's what we was doing. And it's, you know, and to this day, I can't go hunting. It's just not there. But, like I said, it was very hard on us. It was a senseless act. Essentially, it finally brought salvation to my entire family. And I was the strongest one in my family because, I don't know, I just was. And I, trying to hold the family together with prayers and praying, helping my sister-in-law and her the family. And we was at, had a prayer, well, before a prayer service, this woman come up to me. And she said to me, she said, "I know your brother's in heaven." She said, "Because I was in church 2 weeks ago when your brother gave his life to the Lord and accepted Jesus into his heart." And I thought, wow, you know. And I believe probably at this time that seed was planted in my heart, not really knowing what to think about it, you know. It was about a year and a half later, Sandy and I owned a grocery store, and we'd got a bunch of bad checks, and I thought, well, I'm going to just take these checks. I'm going to go to Elk Point, the sheriff's office, and see if he won't collect them for us. So I did. Got got done, I was coming home. I was cruising along 60 miles an hour. It was just like an audible voice. Maybe it was audible, but to me, it was very audible. And this voice said, "You know, if you just pull off the road, hit that high line, boy, it'll be over." And I don't think that way. I don't think that way. And I got home. I'd been fighting a really, really bad cold. And I stopped at the clinic and talked to the doctor. And I said, "This medication you gave me," I said, "can it cause people to have hallucinations and stuff?" He says, "No way, no way." And I told him what happened. And I left and I went home. It wasn't long, phone rang. It was the doctor talking to Sandy. And he said, "Keep an eye on Don. I'm worried about him. He's got some suicidal thoughts." And I thought, whoa, you know. I went into a deep depression after that. I was really in a dark place. I didn't want to be around people. I could care less what was going on. I had to come home. I'd crawl on a chair and take a blanket and pull over my head just so it would be a dark place and I have nothing to do with anybody. And this went on for, I don't know how long, a couple of weeks, I guess. And finally I said to Sandy, I said, "What do you have that I don't have?" Very obvious. I said, "What am I missing? Is it the Lord Jesus?" And I had been working, I'd fell and hurt my back some during this time, this dark time. And Sandy took me, we went over to Beersford to a doctor friend of ours who was a strong Christian. And we went in and went back and he said, come out, he's seen the dark state I was in. He came out, he said, "Don, I can't do anything for you." And he had Sandy come back. And he asked, he said, "Would you and Don be willing to come and talk with my pastor in Beersford here?" And we said yes, you know. And that was a night that changed my life forever. It really was. And it wasn't a church night, it was a Tuesday night, if I recall. We got there about 7. Sat in a pew there, and the pastor went through quite a few gospel, points and stuff. And we sat there and talked, and finally he looked at me, he asked me, he says, "Are you ready to receive Jesus?" I said, "Yes, I am." The first thing he did was pray a prayer of deliverance to release me from power spiritual of suicide. He cast that off me. And then we prayed the prayer of salvation. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which I knew nothing about. I was Lutheran. I didn't know anything about Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And it wasn't the only thing I was delivered of that night. I used to chew tobacco for 19 years strongly. Smoke a few cigarettes, drink a few beers. But that night he delivered me from all of it. From that time, zip, it was gone. The desire has been gone ever since that night. Sandy also received a baptism that night. And, I think it was probably the most single and powerful night of our whole lives. We were both awake. An entire week, get this, an entire week, we never slept. We was so basking in the glory of God. And that fire of God that I shared with everyone. And we went over Bible and Bible and Bible. And I felt his presence on me heavily, for, you know, strongly. For a couple of months, I was in the store. I was just Mr. Happy, Mr. Full of Jesus. And I shared, and I shared Jesus with everyone. I mean, everyone. And then one day I got up, and that joy or the presence of God left me, I felt. I thought, oh no, I lost Jesus. I lost God. And I went over to Beersford and talked with this pastor. And we sat and we visited for quite a long time. And finally he looked at me and says, Don, you have not lost a presence. But what you haven't done is forgive the guy that killed your brother. It was just like somebody hit me with a sledgehammer. I just, oh my, I didn't. And I prayed and asked that I would forgive him. He is forgiven. I don't agree with, you know, consequences you got to serve, but I cleaned my heart. And the joy of the Lord came back. And I asked the Lord, I said, don't ever let me ever pass a chance to share to someone about you. I don't care where it's at. I just want you to know that Jesus lives. And you can have that same joy in your heart. So I just thank God every day now in my life that he thinks me worthy to be a servant of his. And I'm going to try my very best to serve him with all my heart till the end.